Praise God, praise God, praise God. It is awesome to be in the house of the Lord today. The kids are gone. Whew. My biggest critic is gone. You know, my daughter, last time I preached, she stayed and watched, and she's like, "Dad, that was really good, but you was nervous." How can you tell? Well, you kept your hands in your pocket, and you were sweating profusely. Next time, bring a hanky. So I got it this time. So, praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today with sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus. This has been a tough week, I tell you, you know. Thursday, I lost the entire message. And I was like, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do?" But I was able to figure out how to get the message back on the computer. I've learned one thing out of that, though, and that's always save it on two computers. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, that's another one, too. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor took us on a journey into worship. For many of us, he enlightened us. He took us to a next level in our worship. And today, I pretty much want to stay on that same path and discuss with you the sound in worship. And not only the sound in worship, the collective group in worship. The title of this lesson is The Harmony in Praise. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you know I'm nervous right now. Lord God, I ask you to be with me. Lord God, just take over the service, take over and just let me just be in my place. Lord God, let me just do this to lift you up, dear Father. Lord God, allow these people to be touched and ministered to in your way, dear Father. Lord God, I just want to thank you for everything. Lord God, we want to stand together and just bind Satan right now. Anything that's hindering us or binding us from receiving this word today, dear Father, we bind it right now. Lord God, we just want to thank you and praise your holy name. Amen. I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficult times of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall be in together. This is our hope. This is our faith that I go to the south with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out the mountains of despair, a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with one new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, we will let it ring from every village of every helmet, from every state and every city. We will be able to speed up the day when all children's, God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Pentecostal and Catholic, would be able to join hands together in singing the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Thank you. What I've just read to you was excerpts from the late Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1963 speech, "I Have a Dream." Many of us are raised to believe that this speech is strictly for the people of color. That this speech is a speech of just hope for freedom for a people. But I tell you today, that is just not for the black people. This isn't just a call of freedom. This is a call for unity. He is calling the black people, the white people, the yellow people, the green people, Jews and Gentiles, Catholics and Protestants, to join together. Mainly, he's calling God's people to stand up. See, even in those days, we Christians just sat around, try to keep it quiet, keep it low. The time of sitting down and keeping it low is over. The unity of church has always been a concern, and this isn't the first time that it's been addressed. In Philippians, you'll see Paul addressing the people of Philippi. In Philippians 2, 1 and 5, it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy with being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Many people, even us as Christians, live only to make good impressions to others and to please ourselves. But self-ambitious and conceit can cause discord. So here in these scriptures, Paul stresses the spiritual unity, asking the Philippians to love one another and to be one in the spirit and in purpose. If we work to take care of someone else's problems as if it was our own, we will be able to follow Christ's example of putting others first, and we will be able to experience unity. When I think of unity, I often think of the military. Since I'm in the military, I'm always thinking of the military. But I often think of the military when you think of unity. If you ever have the opportunity of going to a graduation or some kind of formal ceremony, you will see those men and women in unity. They're all standing in one line, making different facial directions and everything, all together, like they're one person. But there are many people doing one thing, serving one purpose. That's unity. Okay. The church is losing this brotherhood. I'm not talking about the church as in these four walls. What I'm talking about is the body of Christ. We're losing this brotherhood. However, today's lesson, I want to discuss harmony and the unity in the church and define praise and how these two together not only strengthens the church, but empowers it. The scripture reading today will be coming mainly out of the book of Psalms. In Hebrew, Psalms means praise. This book of Psalms, as most of you know, is a collection of songs and praise expressing the heart and soul of humanity, engulfing the entire range of human expression. Many writers, such as David, poured out their feelings and reflections in dynamic, powerful, and life-changing friendship with God. They provided poetry for the expression of praise, worships, and confession to God. In Psalms 148, 5 and 14, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, fulfilling his words, mountain and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast of all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. I remember a couple of years ago, before I transferred up here, I was on the USS O'Bannon. And for those of you who have been to my house, yes, that's the name of my dog. However, I remember when we was on deployment, we couldn't wait until Sundays, because that was the only day that we was able to have to ourselves. That was our day of rest. The captain would stop the ship and we would sit there, you know, and just wind down from the week, prepare ourselves for the next week. Well, I remember my Sundays, you know, I used to go with my friends and we would go to the back of the ship and we would have church for a little while. We would give God some praise. And as we were wrapping it up or when we were done, we would sit there on the back of the ship and just look out into the ocean. We would sit there and watch the waves just crashing in on the back of the ship, listening to the wind blowing across the bow of the ship, running across the bow. We would listen to the seagulls flying overhead of us, you know, and watch the dolphins out in the water playing. You know, if you have never, ever had the opportunity to see it, that's harmony. That's some unity. Everybody doing their own thing, and it's just beautiful. You know, this psalmist depicts creation as a majestic symphony or a great choir composed of many harmonious parts that together offers up a song of praise. Each part, independent, yet part of the whole, is caught up and carried along in the swelling of tides and praise. This is a picture of how we as believers should praise God. Individually, yes, part of a great choir of believers worldwide. Each one of us has a part in this choir. Some of us are the bass, some other tenors, other are the altos and sopranos. Each of us have a part, but when we bring all these parts together, we can create harmony. Harmony can be defined as an agreement in feeling or opinion, one accord, to live in harmony. It's a pleasant combination of elements in a whole, a combination of sound considering pleasing to the ear. But in Psalms 133, it says, behold, how great and how pleasant it is for my brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of the garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings forevermore. Here David states that the unity is pleasant and precious. Unfortunately, unity does not abide in the church as it should. We get so caught up in the mistake of others, their shortcomings, their lack of money or education. We get so caught up in the negatives of people in the church that we can't see the work that God has done in the people. We don't know what people are doing. So we don't know what we make. We don't know the stuff that the people are going through. We don't know what they're dealing with. You know, we were quick to say, praise God, bless your sister or brother. But have you actually stopped and asked them how their day was? Have you touched somebody and said, how are you doing today? and truly mean it, not just the, hey, bless you, and keep going thing. For us to have unity, we have to look more than just ourselves. Okay, we have to look at each other, be a part of each other's life. We're so busy putting each other down and keeping animosity going in the church that we miss our opportunity to bless someone. God didn't place people here for us to talk about them or to point our fingers at them, but put them here for us to bless them and lead them to Him. People disagree and cause division over unimportant issues. Some delight in causing tension by discrediting others. Unity is important because, one, it makes the church a positive example to the world and help draw people to God. You ain't going to want to go to church with people that don't want you around them. That makes you feel like you don't measure up. It helps us cooperate as a body of believers as God meant us to give us a foretaste of heaven. It renews and revitalizes ministries because there is less tension to sap up our energy. If we as believers had a problem, if we as believers have an issue, okay. Anyways, if it renews and revitalizes ministry because there's less tension to sap out our energy. Yeah. Living in unity and harmony does not mean that we will not agree on everything. There will be many opinions, just as there is many notes in a musical chord. But we must agree on our purpose in life, to work together for God. Our outward expression of unity will reflect our inward unity of praise. In verse 2, the precious oil was used by Moses to anoint Aaron as the first high priest of Israel and to dedicate all the priests of God's service. Brotherly unity is like the anointing oil, showing that we are dedicated to serving God wholeheartedly. Harmony is more than just music. It's people joining together in one accord, lifting each other up, praying for each other, giving a helping hand to one another. It's all God's people focused on the same goal, and that is to resemble and to please our Savior and Lord. Now, we done went over a little bit of harmony, and my time is drawing near. But if you got a few minutes, I want to go over some praise. Now, when we talk about praise, we got to make sure the direction is right. We want to make sure we're sending praise to the one who deserves to be praised, and that's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and who freed us, that we may have the freedom to praise Him and lift our voice in His honor. In Psalms 9:1, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Praise is an expression to our people, our appreciation and understanding of His worth. It's saying thank you for each aspect of His divine nature. It's when our inward attitude becomes the outward expression. Praise isn't just thanking God for giving me this and giving me that. It's saying thank you for being you. It's thank you for being the God of the universe and a God in my life. Being a Christian and in the military, I find myself having the opportunity to go to many different churches every few years. Sometimes we go by word of mouth, and other times we just hope God just moves us into a place that's going to help us grow. But in my walk, I don't learn that you can find out a lot about a church by its praise. We have churches that people are too sophisticated to praise God. They don't want to ruin their statue in the community, and they don't want to ruin their clothes. They don't want to scuff up the new alligator boots they just got last week. They don't want people to see them in a different light than what they may see them already. They just want to go through the motions of church and not actually enter in to the Holy of Holies. We have some that are too lazy to praise God. They want to keep everything on a strict time limit. Do the motion and get out. They have been Americanized. See, what I mean by Americanized, we got our fast food, our fast cash, now they want the fast God. They don't allow the Spirit to even get in and grab a seat. You know, they say the Lord stands at the door and knocks. Well, those people are walking out as he goes in. There have been some that don't know how to praise God. They believe that praise is a hymn or two and just, they just don't quite get it. They just don't understand. They don't know that it could be so much more. But when we talk about praise, we have to talk about noise. See, when God does something in your life, and you can tell by what God does by the things that he has done, you have to make noise. When you look at a football game, you will make noise. You will scream for a man running down a field across some lines with a pigskin in his hand who doesn't know anything about you, doesn't care anything about you, and don't know you, but you will make noise by saying, yeah, woo! The least you can do for somebody who knows you, somebody who cares for you, who died on the cross for you, is make some noise. He died on that cross that we may be able to be lifted up. And in Psalms 146:2, it says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will praise to my God while I have my beings. It didn't say, I'll praise God if I feel like it. It didn't say, praise God if you got the time or the money or the education. It said, I'll praise God at all time. Through my good days, I will praise God. Through my long nights, I will praise God. There's times we come to church that we don't want to lift up our hand. That we don't want to praise God. The weight of the world just seems to be too much. You just can't bear. But that's the time. That's the time that we got to praise God even more. We have to remember God gave his very life that we may have this freedom, that we can praise his name. Remember, God never gives us more than we can bear. So in spite of whatever is going on each and every day, give God praise. He's worthy of it. He deserving of it. In Psalms 146, 5 and 10, it says, "Happy is he who had the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down." It is interesting to me the way that this psalm tells us why we should praise God. He starts off telling us we should be happy to have this God. See, our religion is unique to other religions. See, our religion, our God is still alive. See, if you go into other religions, the Buddha, he's in his grave. Muhammad, he is in his grave. But if you go to the grave and the tomb of Jesus Christ, you're not going to see nobody in there. Because he's alive and he's doing well and he sits on the throne next to the Father. Then he goes on telling us that his God made heaven and earth. He gives justice to your breasts, sight to the blind. Then he puts on the brakes. He's telling us what God has done. He's done this. He added the but. Don't you hate when your kids say something about our butt? But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. That ought to make you feel good. See, because God's plans frustrates the way of the wicked. His values are the opposite of society's, because Jesus turned society's values upside down when he proclaimed that many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. And that whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't be surprised when others don't understand your Christian values, but don't give in to theirs. Many times, me being in the military, I find myself struggling with that one. You know, on deployment a couple years ago, I mean, we'd be stressed out, we'd be frustrated and working 20 hours a day. Get into port, all the guys, "Hey, let's go have a drink." "No, man, I got to call the wife, I got to do this." "No, man, you can do that later." You know? But even then, you just got to, I got to do what I got to do. I'm not like you. You know, I got to hold myself at a higher standard than that. See, because we're children of God. So, like, you, when you have your children, or if you have children, you hold them to a different standard than you hold somebody else's children. Okay? God holds us at a different standard than he do everybody else. So we ought to walk into that standard and be his children. Psalms 141:47, it says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." Sometimes we feel as if we don't understand ourselves, what we want, how we feel, what's wrong with us, or what we should be doing about it. God's understanding has no limits. And therefore, he understands you fully. If you feel troubled and don't understand yourself, remember that God understands you perfectly. Take your mind off yourself and focus it on God. Strive to become more and more like him. The more you learn about God and his ways, the better you'll understand yourself. When you understand yourself and your worth, when you understand yourself and your worth, that's reason enough to praise. And when you understand the reason to praise, then you need to know, how do you praise? In Psalms 147, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise on the harp to our God. In Psalms 149, it says, let them praise his name with dance. Let them sing praise to him with a timbrel and a harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. In Psalms 150, it says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrels and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Although the Bible invites us to praise God, often we ain't sure how to go about it. The last few chapters and verses I've selected gives us several suggestions of praise. We can dance. We can sing. We can lift our voice. We can use musical instruments. We can clap our hands, stomp our feet, whatever it takes to give God some noise, to give him some praise. That's what we can do. God enjoys his people, and we should enjoy and praise in him. Today we've discussed harmony, we don't discuss praise, but for these two to be combined and have to be combined, you have to have God's people in one accord, lifting each other up to God, not trying to be better than the other, but one. And if each of us have that praise in our heart and soul, given that like never before praise, standing for the truth and telling Satan we won't just lay down, we will not surrender, we will not give up without a fight, we are children of the Most High God, we will continue to praise, we will continue to believe, and we will continue to love, then we will have this harmony and praise. I got to enjoy this harmony not too long ago. About 2 weeks ago, we did our final production of More Than Just a Man. And that was the whole thing that made me have to do this sermon. It was because that night, the final night, the Saturday night, oh God, it was awesome. See, many of you don't know that behind the scenes, the cast, the crew, we were going through some stuff. We was getting beat up daily, you know. And that final Saturday night, it just seemed like everything just came all at once. And for me, it was even worse because I dealing with my knuckleheads at work and trying to remember the lines that I had to remember, and it was just a lot. And then that Saturday afternoon, I took a nap and woke up and couldn't move my neck. My head was stuck. You know, and I thought I'd be able to push on through it and just keep on going anyway. And we came to practice, and I sat on the stage here on the edge. I was doing the little prayer thing that I got to do right before. And I got ready to stand up, and a pain just shot straight down my back all the way to my feet, both down both arms. But I had to man up. You know, I had to go on with the show anyway. Everybody know it, was able to see the tears in my eyes. So they all came, Molly, and they just came and just started laying hands on me and praying for me. Nothing happened. doesn't always happen when you want it to happen. Okay? It doesn't. God don't move on your time. He moves on his time. And his time is always better. But we went downstairs. We were like, well, I just have to do it anyway. I'll just talking to people like this, like a robot, you know, just do what I got to do. But we got downstairs, and every the nights before we did it, every day we went downstairs, we changed into our clothes, we said a quick prayer, we did some stretches and jumping jacks and labor. Whew. We had a workout before we even went, came up on stage. But this night was different. This night, it was like 6:10, I think it was. We're like, whoa, we got to get downstairs. We get down there, everybody changed. We trying to change real quick. And we started praying. And we started lifting each other up. I had this big old ice pack on the back of my neck. Molly was trying to choke me with this wrap that she got from But everybody started praying. They started laying hands on my neck. We started praying, just hugging each other and just praying. And that praying went from praying to worship. And then that worship went from just plain worship into praise, making the noise. People started clapping their hands, other people on their face. Telling God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being in me. Next thing you know, we just lost. Time must have flew. Something happened. So all we remember is somebody coming down and, hey, y'all gotta get ready to get upstairs. Huh? Okay. And I tell you, everything that we walked in here with that night, we didn't walk out with. That pain that was in my neck, we ain't even noticed it throughout the entire show. It was awesome. It was a beautiful feeling. You couldn't just sit there without getting caught up into that tide. You know, this is the harmony that God's people need. See, that's the unity that's actually unique to this church, to me. I've been to many churches, and I have never felt a move the way I have since I've been here. God has given a blessing to this church. And it's one that I've never felt before. I don't know how to react to it a lot of times. Other than just sit back and cry. Just raise my hands, stomp my feet, whatever it takes, just to let them know, hey, I love you guys, and I love you most of all. This is special to me. See, because when we praise like this, when we praise like that, that's like a virus to Satan. You know what the virus is in the computers and just wipes everything. That's a virus to Satan. See, when God's people join together, and we say in one voice, we're not going to take it no more. Satan got to go. He can't sit there no more. Because then we have the power. Because God has given it to us. That we can bind everything. We can move mountains. There's nothing that we can't do. If you got a few more minutes, I'd like to show a demonstration real quick. In this harmony of praise that I've learned, it can be powerful and moving. So this guy with me, you're going to repeat after me, okay? Can y'all do that for me? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, say it four times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Keep going. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Louder. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Which I thought y'all was off the hook. He is the sweetest name, and I know. Now with me. He is the sweetest name, and I know. Let's say it again. He is the sweetest name, I know. Now you're going to keep on doing that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
He is the sweetest name I know.
See, and when we are doing this in harmony, y'all keep going. Yeah, you keep on going. When we get this going in harmony, then we'll be able to allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's moving inside us, to control us as a director in our lives. And He'll be able to lower us down over here and raise it up. Or He'll be able to lower it down. Jesus. And raise it up over here. I know. Okay. And see, and it's important. Why is it so important? Keep going, keep going. Because you don't never know when somebody's going to come through this door. You don't never know when somebody's going to come in here and say, I need Jesus. I need to be filled. I need a deliverance. I need somebody to touch my heart. I got a pain in my side. I got a pain in my back. I got a pain in my neck. Then we all, as God's children in harmony, be able to say, and then they don't understand why we singing Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then we'll be able to say, why? Because it's the sweetest name I know. He is the sweetest name I know. He carries power in that name. He has healing in that name. He has deliverance in that name. He is the sweetest name that I know. And see, and when God moves into the place, when God moves into the place, and when He's able to deliver us and move into us, and we done got the healing, we done got the deliverance, we done received what He wanted us to believe, then we'll be able to say in one voice, in one united kingdom, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Stand up and give God some praise today. Thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Give God some praise today. That is the harmony and praise.
Amen. After that, we're gonna. I think we need to practice what we've just been taught. So we're gonna go back and sing one of our songs from this morning, and we're just gonna. I want everybody to sing it out. Take this opportunity to praise. Right? Hallelujah. eternity.
From eternity
to eternity, your kingdom will ever reign. You are the one God, Jesus, we bear your name. From the ruler's north to the ruler's south, to the kingdoms east and west, they will bow before you. Your lordship confess.
Thank you, Lord.
And your oceans clap their hands. Your trees, they wave their branches. And your rivers run with praise. All creation will praise.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we move in unity with you.
Lord, we delight in your rule, your kingdom's advancing, and Lord, we are moving with you. Lord, we delight in your reign, creation will praise you, and Lord, we exalt your great name. Lord, we delight in your rule, your kingdom's advancing, and Lord, we are moving. Lord, we delight in your reign. Creation will praise you, and Lord, we exalt your great name.
All right, I want to hear the voices. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Lift your voices. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. Delight in your rule.
Lord, we delight in your rule. Your kingdom's advancing, and Lord, we are moving with you. Lord, we delight in your reign. Creation will praise you, and Lord, we exalt your great name. Lord, we delight in your rule. Your kingdom's advancing, and Lord, we are moving with you. Lord, we delight in your reign. Creation will praise you, and Lord, we exalt your great name.
Bless your voices. Hallelujah. God, we praise you. We can stay around and sing a little bit more. Otherwise, we have stuff downstairs, correct? We do? Okay. We're gonna sing just a little bit more, but Yeah, if you're interested in staying or going downstairs, we'll all be down there in just a minute. So help yourself.
We delight in your reign. Creation will praise you, and Lord, we exalt your great name. One more time. We